Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. The first thing, you know, I think about is that, you know, when I was in Savannah, in a beautiful old city, and it was pretty neat. They had the ovens and things out there where the communal cooking used to take place. They had two different stairwells, Pat, that goes up into a house. I think they're called arms, welcoming arms or something. So you can imagine a house that's kind of got a kind of a tall basement that's up a little bit. The first floor, you got to walk up steps and imagine two half-rounded staircases coming out. Maybe I'll find one and put it on the VFN TV blog if we can find one today. But you had one on the right and one on the left. And what happened was, this is how far America has gone.
Right.
That the men would go up one side and the women would go up the other side. The reason why is because if a man saw the woman's ankles, she'd have to marry him.
Ankles.
Ankles. If he saw her ankles,
right,
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He'd have to marry her.
Oh, my goodness.
There'd be a lot of marriages going on right now.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness. I saw your ankles. And so that was the mindset of America when we came over here. Things have really changed, would you say?
No, definitely.
Right? Okay, we want to expound on that right now.
Move on.
But so it's, anyway, this all this history and, all, you know, the founder of the Girl Scouts, it was from there. A lot of different things that happened in Savannah. Another one is Paula Deen. You know, she's from Savannah, Georgia. Man, don't you just, oh man, I love the way she talks. And
so who was Paula Deen?
Are you serious?
I've heard you say it many times. I don't know who you she is.
I want you to write in. I want you to write in to VFN Radio and you tell, you know, Pat, who Paula, everybody knows Paula Deen. She's like, honey, you got to make some biscuits with some butter. I'll tell you. She was on the Food Channel. She had two boys. And she had this, we were getting off the track here. I'm going to tell you this.
Okay.
And she had this phobia, this fear and this phobia. She couldn't go out, but they needed to make a living. So she started making these sandwiches and sending her boys out to sell these sandwiches. And eventually she got over this fear and started a restaurant. She has a restaurant there called A Lady and Her Two Sons, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. But she just cooks like we like, you know.
Country cooking.
Like butter, green, right. Collard greens with cornbread and oh, all yeah. deep southern, and you know we sound southern down here, but when you get to Savannah, they're southern. And she's just funny, you know, she's just real.
Right.
I gotta send you, so if y'all could send something to him. You gotta know Paula, man. You gotta know Paula. And I think her husband's name is Bubba. I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he's was a sub what do you call it, tugboat captain and all that. Yeah. Kind of stuff. And anyway, she does really good business and all that. She's just really, really funny. But anyway, I was in Savannah, and I went to sleep one night, and the Lord showed me America. I was in Denver, Colorado, and I'll give a shout out to our Denver listeners out there. That and I kind of knew where I was. It was a place that somebody had been before earlier on, and God was kind of giving me perspective from their perspective. And I was standing in Denver, and I was looking over these flat lands, you know, and I didn't understand the flat lands that are right, you know, east of Denver. And so I'm looking, there's a big dark cloud in the sky. I mean, it's just huge. It's humongous. I mean, it's just major, you know. You probably can't see anything but this darkness cloud that was way up high. But then you could see the clear, lit, you know, open ground. So it was almost like there was still sun or light underneath all that.
Mm-hmm.
But from that came a real thin, I mean, like real pencil thin tornado. And it was just kind of really just small and insignificant and all that. And so everybody begins to go, oh, look. And we're looking at it because it's like some anomaly, you know, so it's kind of strange. And we're watching it from a great distance. And as we're watching it, Pat, as we're watching it, because you're focusing on this little small, it can't hurt you type thing, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, something you didn't even expect, the entire sky fell. You know?
Oh my.
All that dark, stormy, the whole thing just was bam and just hits the earth.
Mm.
And then the earth, even though it still looks like the earth, turns into an ocean, like, and it just hits in like a tsunami now of liquid earth, basically.
Mm-hmm.
is coming straight towards Denver.
Oh wow.
You know what I'm saying? And then we're all just trying to get ready and get covered and what, we just knew we're fixing to be hit by the storm, right?
Right.
And I'm like, "Oh my goodness." You know, "Oh my goodness." And then the Lord's beginning to show, you know, talk about, you know, how the Lord showed you about as you were preparing. Talk about that.
Which one?
The sun.
Oh, okay, that one. I was in this beach house facing the water. You could see the ocean. Real nice.
It's where he spends every weekend.
Yeah. I wish. And the back wall of the house was all glass. I mean, far as the right and left, everything was all glass facing the ocean. And it was a bright sunny day. I looked out in the sky. You could see the sun clearly. And it was, you know, looked like it was about 5, 6 o'clock at night. But when I look at my watch, it was actually 9 o'clock at night.
So it's like you're in this house on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
It's got total glass everywhere you can look towards mm-hmm. the water right there.
Right.
And it's like about 5 o'clock, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. So I'm looking at the sun, and all of a sudden it just falls out of the sky. And hits the ocean. Yeah.
Say it again.
The sun falls out of the sky and hits the ocean.
No.
Yes.
Is this wild or what?
Yeah.
So the sun falls out of the sky, right? Hits the ocean,
right? Wow. And then immediately I start to see waves coming, but it started off as a small, you know, small waves.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw them coming toward the house, so I'm like immediately grabbing stuff and trying to get it up higher, you know, right. So we didn't lose anything, as if that was going to help. And then I run into the other room to check on my mother to make sure she was okay, and because she was in an adjacent room, but I looked out her window. And she was like on an embankment. You could just see down. So the water I knew could not reach her. So I knew she was safe. So I come back into the other room where my family was because my wife and my children were there. And I'm seeing more waves coming and they're getting bigger and bigger. And I just knew, you know, we were done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so the sun falls out of the sky.
Right.
Into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real confusing because it wasn't the east and the west, and it wasn't happening. You know, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west.
Right, yeah.
And it wasn't happening that way. It was all kind of
no,
back.
It was totally backwards the
so
way
normal wasn't taking place.
Right.
So
correct.
It was an abnormal thing at first, and then all of a sudden, it looks like it's just going to go down naturally, and then suddenly it just goes bam.
Instantly.
Hmm. It's just like God sounding the alarm. I remember... You know, Amber, my daughter, you know, she, God had given her a prophetic dream. And this prophetic dream, there was this huge tsunami, some huge, huge wave. And you had people that, you had several different people in this dream towards that wave. And it was about to come, and then it just kind of, it stayed a big wave, but it stopped. It kind of mm-hmm. pushed pause.
Right.
And you had some people who were just mesmerized by it. And so they got in their boats and they went out to go check it out. You had other people that went and prepared. Well, obviously, those would be like the prudent people. They went and prepared, you know, for this tsunami that's coming.
Right.
And then you had most of the people who just started partying on the beach. Like, you know, many Tarkin, you Farfin, you've right. been waiting in the bottomless pit of hell. And so you had three different categories of people. One who didn't understand. They just thought they were mesmerized by the storm and what was taking place. And this is you hear today, you know, people were talking about the disasters and potential economic collapses. They're talking about, you know, falling within. I got Joel Rosenberg's book right here that just came in, Implosion, that's up on the VFN TV blog that you can find out more about it. I mean, and so some people just got all focused on, and this is what people have a tendency to do. They just get focused on a storm, and they just talk about the storm, but they never understand. You got to prepare. You got to be prudent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there was three people with this huge wave. you know, first we're all on the beach, and from my understanding, then some went out in their boats to go check it out because it was just stuck there. You know, it's not moving yet. It's kind of paused, which I believe is the mercies of God. I think God's giving us time. That's why we're urgently talking to you on VFN Radio. We want you to share it with your friends. You know, get people. This is not about entertainment, even though we have a lot of fun time talking and enjoying this, you know, because we have nothing to fear. But we also want to warn. We want to let you know. And then there's the people that went and prepared. And that would be today's, you know, word of wisdom. A prudent man sees danger and prepares, but the simple keep going and they suffer for it, right?
Right.
And then those that stayed on the beach and they began to party. There's going to be people that don't listen. But just because, even if they're members of your own family, even if it is the man or the woman that says they're leading you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, listen, I see all these things happening. I see danger. But every time I go to our church gathering, all they talk about is another message on grace or another message on just the basic milk of the word. But they're not even mentioning the fact that we're fixing to get whacked.
Right.
And if anybody should know, it should be the man or the woman who's leading you. If they can't hear from God, you know, find somebody who can hear from God. You need to hear from God yourself. You know, when you gather together in your church gathering, this is what should be said. This is what amen means, by the way. Amen does not mean, hey, that's a good song. Amen means I agree, that has agreement inside of my heart. And so the same Jesus is talking to him or her is talking to me, and that bears witness with me. And if you have a leader, I don't care how big it is or how small it is, and they're not warning you right now about what's going on, and, you know, then you need to find somebody. I got to be honest with you. You just got to find somebody and if they're not hearing by now, you know, there's something else going on. I mean, they're just, you know, they could be caught up in some other things, you know, and this is about unity with Jesus Christ. This is about the whole body moving in conjunction, all of us waking up, but the alarms are being sounded. You know, we have a lot of these prophetic words available on the VFN TV blog. You just go to VFNTV.com and click on the blog. It'll carry you right to it. And at the top, it has a menu. The first option on the menu is VFN Radio. And the second option is prophetic words, dreams, and visions. And that's some of them that we've posted up already. We got some serious things that God's telling us. We're trying to get a couple things in order before we tell you, because we know that it's not only going to shock you, but it's going to shock a lot of other people. And it's amazing. There's people right now. I know it's amazing, but understand this: the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they believed they were right. I mean, they believed that they were God's man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when God was looking them in the eye, when Jesus was looking them in the eye, they called Jesus what? Satan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so it is possible that somebody who's leading something has become blind, that they can't hear. And we've even heard people that didn't even want to hear.
Yeah.
We ask questions like, don't you want to know what God's saying? Nope.
All right.
He had something to say. Nope. And so, you know, we don't know what to do with that, because we operate totally off the proceeding word of God. I mean, what is God saying? I mean, everything that's happened, and there's things that have happened, you can go and look at what's happened, that it's happened because God said it and we did it and these things happen. And now this is what he's saying. He's saying there was a day when the church did not have the word of God. You know, it was all written in Latin, and they thought that the commoners would mess up. They couldn't handle the word of God. Just believe it or not, this happened, you know, and it was amazing. And then, they began to interpret the Bible, and they had the Gutenberg printing press, and they began to print Bibles, which was just a big, profound thing. And God wanted his church to have his word. So there was a season of the church that its leaders hoarded the word, did not trust the common man with the word. And Tyndall, I believe it was Tyndall, and I'll tell you more about that. And I'm looking forward to having Tracy on, because Tracy's got some great wisdom in that. You know, we want to get down some things about the legitimacy of the word of God and the history of the Bible, and it's proven. You need to hear that, because you're going to be challenged, like the Mormon Bible, for example, which says it's another testament of Jesus Christ. You need to know that is a horrific thing. It's not like, oh, you know, but they did mention it. It's like, no,
right.
You know. And so understanding that I lost my train of thought when I was saying, no, being prepared, that there can be people that they don't want to hear God's voice. They don't want to hear it. They're the ones that says, yeah, I don't want a prophet around here. You know why? Because, you know, God may say something that changes their plans.
All right.
But look, read the book of Acts. I mean, it's not about everything that's, you know, we pay $1.3 million per baptized believer in American church, which means somebody says, yes, I received Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You average all the cost that we put in to as a one church, by the way. And it's like 1.3, according to George Barna, like $1.3 million for that person to be baptized in the fiberglass pool, you know? And, you know, and how did they do it before fiberglass? And I'm just trying to figure out how did they, you know, I think it was a Brush Arbor. You know, my father-in-law went to a revival in a Brush Arbor, which is basically a vine growing up over a, you know, a wooden trellis. Mm-hmm. That kind of like a little patio type thing, and, mm-hmm. but it's not no concrete. That's how when you think about a church like Cottage Hill Assembly of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was birthed outside,
right.
under a brush arbor, you know, and that wasn't too long ago. And those that are listening to VFN Radio right now, you know from whence we came,
mm-hmm.
and for some reason, you know, this generation, we've been hoodwinked and thinking it's all these things, and now we're trying to maintain all these things, and God's going, you better let it go, because everything that's not God's going to be a rock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, you know, at that time, that the religious leaders didn't think that the common man could have the word of God, and so they were ready to kill people. They were going to kill people. Mm-hmm. They did. They burned them at a stake. They for telling people that here, you can read the word of God.
Wow.
It was a horrific thing. And so a town, you know, could afford like one Bible,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is some of the instances. And so mm-hmm. they'd all gather as a town, and they'd have one person. They're like big Bibles, you know, Gutenberg printing press and how they did that. And the whole town would just sit as this one person would read the word of God. Can you imagine for the first time finding out, oh my goodness,
wow.
all these wonderful things that we know today. But it was because of those like Tyndale and all that were willing to pay the price. And so there was a day that God's people didn't have the word, and God wanted his people to have the word. The living, active, mm-hmm. sharper than double-edged sword. He wanted us to abide in the word. For the very fact that you can abide today with God and his word, you can find out more about how to do that if you don't have a plan at iabide.org. That came because the people were willing to pay the price and say, this is not right. What you're doing, how you're hoarding the word and refusing to trust God, who is living, and the Holy Spirit, who is with us, to interpret the word of God. And so the church got the word back. So God wanted his people to have his word back. Well, today something different's happening. Today, God wants his church back.
Yeah.
he wants you back.
Mm.
And I know that the religious leaders have told you, there's no way, Pat, how in the world could you, a commoner, I mean, you're only a lawyer, you know, right?
Like,
yeah, that's a pretty smart dude, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You're only a CEO of a business company. If you're a CEO, I'm sure you're intelligent enough, you know, to read the word of God and to follow God. But this is what's being said, you know, quite often is like, you know, how can you be entrusted following Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I mean, God was so entrusting to his people because this is the whole thing. The Holy Spirit's with us. You know, his church, and that God dwells in us, and he convicts us of sin. He encourages us. He teaches us the way of the fathers. It's the Holy Spirit that reminds us of the things that we were taught. You know, yeah, we should be taught. Yeah, we should be trained up. But at some point, you should be launched out. I mean, God, when the church was formed in Jerusalem, that persecution was allowed to come upon the church to get them scattered out and launched because God was confident enough that his spirit was with them. And when they went out, and we know this is true because the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. If they wanted to do away with everything, they would have took down definitely the leadership,
mm-hmm.
but they stayed there and they went out and they preached Jesus and people became believers. And today you are fruit from that first persecution. I mean, they went out,
right.
Jerusalem, Samaria, and other spots. And so this is a big deal right now, because we're in the stage right now that, like they were in the days of the Bible, that they couldn't believe the commoner could actually read the word and that God was with them. And I want to encourage you, and we're going to continue in the extra hour today, you know, talking about these prophetic words and dreams and visions. But understanding this, you don't, it's not about just, you know, being rebellious. It's not about just, you know, that's right. It's about honoring your brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's about honoring those who's established around you. It's about reasoning with those around you. But after you've reasoned and you've loved and you find out that they're not willing to listen to God and they're not believing that, that God can use all of us to be able to advance his kingdom. Listen, we got Mormons knocking on every single door in the world, it seems like. We got Islam in every jail out there trying to convert all these different people over there. And we got Christians being held captive by a pharisaical religious spirit, which Chuck Pierce talks about, that we can't even go out and win our neighbor out there. People don't even know, a lot of Christians are Christians. If they didn't leave their house on Sunday at 8 a.m., they wouldn't have even known. You know, they're thinking, okay, that's like every Sunday they go somewhere, they must be a Christian, and they got that big yellow hat. You know, that's the only time this year ever wears that big yellow hat. You know, so that's got to be, that's a probably Christians. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Why the darkness is overtaking our neighborhoods, you know, why the darkness is ruling in our homes and in our relationships and all these different things. Listen, imagine this. And we got to get this up. We got to get this up. Make sure we get this up. That, you know, desperate for God's glory. You got to hear this. This is one of the foundational words of understanding that, you know, David got jealous when he got fearful first because he wanted God to dwell close to his home. And so he wanted to bring God's presence in, but he did it the wrong way. So what I'm talking about, you can't do it the wrong way because you can die. But good news is if you're a believer and you do it the wrong way, you know, God will tell you in a few moments because you'll be with him in heaven. But, you know, it's good to die trying, you know? And so, but you know, he was desperate for the glory of God to dwell in him, and God wants to dwell with you. Yes. You know, wherever you gather at, yes, he's there because you're there. You're the church. You know, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. But he wants to dwell in your home and in your neighborhood. He wants us to be as aggressive for the advancement of his kingdom as the adversary is and all of his disciples for their kingdom. And it's amazing how aggressive they are and how passive and sleepy the church is. But I understand, if you don't understand what we're talking about, I understand why it feels weighty and heavy and you feel like it can't be done. And how can I buy that many callers? And how can I actually build such a big building? And, you know, I can't afford this and I can't afford. Listen, you know, if God is with you, I'm telling you that, how can you add to him? How can you add to him? And God's only going to entrust and only expect from you, you know, that which you're able to do and what he's giving you talent. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.